What kind of an impact are you making? How many of you like ice cream tonight? Okay. Well, imagine you're driving down the road. It's a hot summer day. Maybe you're on vacation. And you drive by maybe a frozen custard place. And they have the flavor of the day listed on their sign. And maybe it's your favorite flavor. I'm not sure what that might be. Maybe it's butter pecan. And it's a hot day, and you're ready for some ice cream. I know this wouldn't be Mrs. Bird, but anyways, you're ready for some ice cream, and it's butter pecan. It's your favorite flavor of the day, and so you stop, and you said, you know what, I'm going to indulge today. And so you order a cone, and you get your cone, and, you know, there's a little bit of ice cream in there. They don't do a very good job. And boy, you're a little disappointed. And then you start eating it. And I mean, you order butter pecan because maybe you really like pecans. Or if you're from down south, pecans. And you know, you're digging through it. And you know, it's one of those cones where it's like you have to hire a search committee to find the pecans in it. And you find maybe, you know, half a pecan in that cone. Well, you know, what kind of an impact has that frozen custard place made on you? Well, not a very good one. You know, how likely are you going to be the next time you're traveling through that area to stop at that place? Well, you probably are not very likely to stop at that place again. I mean, imagine if this was the manager that made the cone for you too. I mean, this isn't just a newly hired worker, but this was the manager of the place. And, you know, maybe you go up to the manager and say something. He's like, well, you know, the price of pecans is $12.99 a pound. Or, you know, maybe it's not that much. But, you know, he goes into some spiel like that. Well, you're going to be like, well, you know, I definitely won't be stopping at this place again. You know what? It made a terrible impact upon you. The question tonight is, what kind of an impact are you making? And tonight we're going to look at three truths that will help you to make the impact that Christ wants you to make upon others. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It says here in verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. All right, one of the key things about salt is that it what? It flavors foods. Another aspect of it is it can preserve food. All right, but it says here, if the salt has lost its savor, its taste, or its smell, as defined in the King James Bible, if the taste is gone from salt, what value does it have for flavoring food? Well, there is no value. All right, and the salt in those days was something that when, you know, it would come in contact with certain materials, would lose its taste. But there would still be stuff there. But there would be no taste to it. So what would you do with that? Well, it was something that the taste was gone, but there was still matter, there was still substance there to do something with it. And so the only useful thing, the only thing they could do with it was maybe throw it out in pathways for people to walk on. It's not something you'd want to put in your garden. It wasn't something that would, you know, if you spread it on land, it would probably hinder things from growing. And so something that could just had to be cast out. because there was still that negative quality, so to speak, of salt. You know, one of the places we've been going soul winning is over at the Honey Creek Apartments. Recently, we were out there. And, you know, if you notice along the sidewalks, you'll see this brown, I don't know, maybe Stephen noticed it too, because I know he was out there, brown patches of grass. Well, there was a lot of salt spreading that went on this winter, and most likely that's all those brown patches are from all the salt that was left there. You know, there's a negative aspect to salt. All right, and what's interesting here is that, you know, the positive aspect of salt is gone. In a sense, there's something negative left. You know, those brown areas, well, what's going to have to happen? I mean, they could just take new grass seed and spread it on there, but my guess is it's probably not going to grow too well. They're probably going to have to take some of that soil out, put new soil in, so the seed can grow. You know, tonight, the first thing we need to realize is that our spiritual effectiveness must be carefully guarded. How can the salt lose its savor? Well, the salt comes in contact with the wrong things. There was a story about a man who, you know, mined or got salt from a certain area, and he decided to store it. Well, it was the area that, you know, the part that came in contact with the earth, or when it's exposed to, at least in that story, that went bad. When it's exposed to certain elements, it loses its savor. And as believers, when we are exposed to certain elements, what's going to happen to us? We're going to lose our savor. Think of Lot. He was exposed to Sodom. And what happened? He lost his savor. You know, instead of making the effect, instead of the effect that he was supposed to have, he lost it. I mean, think of him going to his son-in-law, warning him to flee the city. I believe, what did he do to him? He laughed at him. You know, what's this all about? He lost his effect. And tonight, we must realize that our spiritual effectiveness must be carefully guarded. If we are exposed to the wrong elements, we as well will lose our savor. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. There's a choice in that sense. You want a good name, or are you going to choose maybe the wrong means to get great riches? In that case, a good name is presented as a choice. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What can you do to that salt to make it effective? Well, it says, it's thenceforth good for nothing. Be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. You know, tonight, do you recognize the importance of carefully guarding your spiritual effectiveness? Are there things that have moved into your life that are taking away the savor of your life? Think of snow. Maybe you don't want to think about snow anymore, but you take snow and you expose it to heat, and what happens? It melts, right? It's gone. It loses its, you know, what makes it different. You know, maybe you can think about a nice hanging basket that you have. Maybe you just bought a nice hanging basket to put on your porch or something. And, you know, maybe it's got some impatiens in it or some of those frost-sensitive plants. Well, imagine next week we get, you know, we get some unexpected cold weather and it drops down below freezing and you left your basket out there. Well, what's it going to look like? The beauty is going to be what? It's going to be gone. And you should have what? You should have guarded it. You should have protected it from the wrong environment that would cause it to lose its beauty. You know, as believers, are you carefully guarding your spiritual effectiveness? You know, maybe it's your garden. You just put maybe a bunch of tomato plants out. Maybe you spent a lot of money in those tomato plants. Maybe you bought big ones. You know, maybe you spent $10, $15, $20 a piece. You know, sometimes people, I think they buy them in these big pots and they spend a lot of money on them. Well, you can spend all the money you want, but if you get a cold night and you don't protect that plant, guess what? Your investment's going to be gone, isn't it? And we need to carefully guard our spiritual effectiveness. If that savor is lost, what is your Christian testimony worth? As we continue on in this passage, it says in verse number 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." You know, if you look off at a city in a distance at night, you know, and you see the lights of the city, it's lit up. You know, what are you going to do to hide that city? Well, they have to, I mean, if they're going to hide it, they have to what? Turn the lights off. You know, but if the lights are on, you're not going to be able to what? What are you going to do? Take like a big black blanket, put it over the whole city? All right, lights, they're intended to shine. They're intended to give light. It says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." You know, why do we mount lights on ceilings? You know, why don't we put them on the floor underneath the pews? Well, we want them to serve their purpose. We want them to give light. And there's a purpose to the lights. It says here in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men." All right, light is given so it can give, make an effect upon those that it is given to. All right, lights are not for covering something up. Lights are for exposing something. And secondly, we see that we must unashamedly live the Christian life. He says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men." You are the light of the world. You're supposed to be giving out light. All right, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus Christ is the what? He is the light of the world. How are we going to be lights to others? In fact, in John 9:5, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, Matthew 5, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." Well, that light, we can only give out light as we what? As we receive light from Christ. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18, it says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." All right, and so God must work in our lives. He is going to produce that brightness in us as we what? As His image is, so to speak, reflected in us. And so there is a key to having this light. But if we're Christians, we need to what? We need to unashamedly live the Christian life. It says, "Let your light so shine before men." You know, we shouldn't be ashamed to be different. We shouldn't be afraid for others to realize that we are Christians. You know, we're to be the light. We're to be the salt. We're supposed to be making an effect upon others. And we should be unashamed in that effect upon others. You know, we live in days of moral depravity. You know, things seem to be slipping quickly. You know, and what's one of the great problems? Well, Christians are to be the what? They're to be the salt. Christians are to be the light. You know, but if Christians aren't being the salt and the light, how can we expect to make the impact in this world that we ought to be making? You know, we think of, believers that are, or people that at least call themselves believers, bringing, you know, CCM music into churches. you know, using false forms of worship, doing all these different, well, what is it doing? It's, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. You know, in our Sunday school class on Sunday, somebody mentioned something about, you know, at least people that claim to be Christians, and, well, you know, the aspect of, I don't know, if maybe it wasn't necessarily the keeping the Ten Commandments, but just the aspect of, so to speak, emphasizing, you know, commandments. And, you know, we're under grace. Well, you know, if believers are acting as if, why do we have to obey these things? What do we expect the unsaved world to be? When we are to be the light. And it's not something we're supposed to be ashamed about. It says, let your light so shine before men. You know, God does not save us so we can feel good, but so that we can give it to others. You know, who is your life pointing others to? Who is your life reflecting? In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, and over in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1, Titus 2 and verse 5, it says, speaking to the young woman, how are they supposed to behave? It says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be what? Be not blasphemed. We are to have the right testimony. We're going to see this in number three, how we need to constantly glorify God. It says that the word of God be not blasphemed. Our light is to shine brightly. Our light is to be reflecting God. It ought to give people an accurate representation of who God is. You know, you think of the testimony of Michelle's aunt. You know, here's an opportunity for believers to pray and to show the power of God. And what takes place? God's glorified. You know, but if no one was praying, no one was doing their duty, what would happen? The Bible says, if you know, the Golzinskis weren't living a life in which they saw there's a difference here, what would take place? Would they be looking to them to pray? You know, and so let your light so shine. Here, if your light's not shining correctly, what's going to happen? It says that the word of God could be blasphemed. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is another situation. You know, is it important how you act in the workplace? Is it important how you treat your boss at work? Well, yes, it is. It says in verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the what? That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. It's important that our lights shine brightly, that we shine correctly, that we are accurately portraying the God that we claim to serve. You know, is your life glorifying God? Is your life giving an accurate representation of who God is to others? And are you unashamed in that representation? Let your light so shine before men. What's part of that light shining? Well, it says that they may see your what? Your good works. Your actions are a reflection on God. You know, somebody can say, well, it's just the heart that counts. Well, what does it say here? That they may see your what? Your good works. Well, guess what? They can't see your heart. But they can see your actions. Now, obviously, your actions ought to be flowing from your heart. But they can't see your actions. That they may see your good works. And what's it all about? Is it all about pointing yourself and say, ah, look at how good I am. Look at all these great works. Well, that's the whole attitude of, you know, Ephesians 2:8, not by works lest any man should what? Should boast. But here it's all about what? Pointing people to God. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your life is not about drawing attention to yourself. You're not doing these things because you want to people to see how good you are, but you're letting your light shine because you are seeking to reflect, point people back to the one that you are receiving that light from. How brightly tonight is your light shining? We must be unashamed in our Christian testimony. Let it shine brightly. You know, people, it's amazing how people can be unashamed sometimes in swearing. Using curse words. And I still remember a long time ago going to Golden Guernsey, and some of the guys here may have gone with us at one time. And I actually didn't remember what the guy said, but I think thankfully in that instance, there's probably other times we should have and we didn't, but we gave the guy a tract and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry for, you know what I said." And you know, sometimes we need to let people know who we are. And it can make an effect upon what they say. But many times we're too ashamed of letting people know, they'll let people know who they are. But sometimes we don't let people know who we are. The Bible says, let your light shine. Let those actions come forth. We need to live like Christians. We need to act like Christians. We need to allow the light of Christ to shine brightly. You know, there may be situations where it is hard to speak with somebody. Well, what do you need to do? Maybe they say, "I don't want you to say another word to me ever again." Well, guess what you can do? You can live a life. And what does it say in 1 Peter 3? That they without the word may be what? Won by the conversation of the wife. You know, you might, obviously the spoken word, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the word of God also speaks of our what? Our actions, communicating. You know what? Each one of us, we don't want to de-emphasize, obviously, the spoken word. What we say, we need to give the gospel. We need to communicate the word of God. But here we find what? That our actions must as well be communicating the truth of God's word. And it ought to be unashamed. And it ought to be something that is constantly glorifying God. It is pointing people's attention to God. I like how one preacher put it, our lives are like a telescope. And people ought to be able to look through our lives and have a better understanding of who God is because of the lives that we are living. You know, people look through your telescope. What are they going to see about God? Is your life properly representing Him to others? Or is it giving a mixed message? How effective tonight is your life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would leave from here tonight. Lord, even right now, that each one would take an inventory of their own life. Lord, might examine. Lord, if there is that carefulness about not allowing anything to come in that would harm their effectiveness. Lord, about being unashamed in living the Christian life. Lord, we have so many people today that are unashamed in living a sinful life. Lord, I pray tonight that we as believers would be willing to stand up and be unashamed in living our Christian lives. And Lord, that it would be all about seeking to glorify You. Lord, that others would see how great a God that You are. Lord, sometimes it's hard to be unashamed. But Lord, may we see the opportunity that can create to point people's attention upon how great you are. Lord, we pray tonight that we would be the effective Christians that you want us to be in this dark world in which we live. And Lord, a bright light can be seen from afar. Lord, we pray tonight that we would be that kind of a Christian. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.